All right, guys, welcome once again to your Adonis Lifestyle podcast. This is the High Gravity Male Edition, and today I've got a really special guest. It's actually a guy I've been tracking down for a little while now. We've been kind of playing, you know, phone tag and email tag or Skype tag, whatever you want to call it, back and forth for, you know, a couple months now, and our schedules have finally met up so we can actually make this happen. So on the phone today, I've got David Shade. Now, David is a kind of unique in the fact that he's basically what he calls a recovered nice guy. And I think a lot of you guys out there are really going to resonate with this because, you know, David's a mechanical engineer. He's also got a master's degree in electrical engineering, which kind of is a man of my own heart. I've got a degree in aerospace engineering. And so he's actually figured out some things on what guys can do as far as basically reclaiming masculinity. And he's also got some things involving sex and sexual techniques that actually will help you further your response with women. And this is going to be whether it's women that you are currently with or if you're single. So either way. So, David, I really appreciate you being here, buddy.
Well, thank you, Brad. I really appreciate you having me on, and it is an honor to be speaking to your clients.
Yeah, I know. This is going to be a good time. So, all right, so you've got to explain this whole recovering nice guy. I mean, it sounds like that it's an addiction or something crazy like that. I mean, is it really as bad as it seems?
Yeah, it is an affliction. yes, it really is as bad as it seems. Absolutely, because it keeps you away from all the things that are possible. Yeah, I'm the classic recovered nice guy. Yeah, I was raised in a family where I was taught to treat women with respect. My mother had a strong personality. She commands a great deal of respect, a wonderful woman. Mm-hmm. And my father treated her with great respect. And I was always instructed to treat people nicely, to treat women nicely. And also, I was very much affected by social programming, just like everybody else is, mm-hmm. that women are nice creatures, that they do not want to be insulted, that to do anything outside of being completely respectful would be very disrespectful to her. And I thought that the way that you win a woman's heart is by being really nice to her and showering her with gifts and affection and bringing her flowers on a first date, all those kind of things. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, those are all really nice things, but a steady diet of that is actually, believe it or not, works against you. And it came as a real surprise to me to find that I had limited success with that. No surprise. Okay. There was nothing exciting about it. There was nothing dangerous about it. But at the same time, I saw the bad boys, and the bad boys had such amazing results. Women were completely hooked on bad boys, even though the bad boys treated them disrespectfully. They would lie. They would treat them poorly. They would cheat on them. And on more than one occasions, a woman would cry on my shoulder about the bad boy that was treating her like dirt. But I was treating her really nice, but she had no interest in me. She was hooked on the bad boy. Mm-hmm. I knew I had to figure something out.
Gotcha. So what was the kind of the turning point for you? Because I think what guys are going to figure out, especially if they invest in some of your stuff, it's kind of shocking. I mean, to be honest, when I read kind of started going through your stuff, I mean, like I said, I've heard you speak before and, you know, we've talked a couple of times, but, you know, just kind of hearing you now and then actually getting into your stuff, it's kind of a shock. It's like, wow, okay. All right. We're going deep, and this is a lot different than I thought it was going to be, because it's pretty much, oh, I'm not going to say aggressive, but it's very dominant, you know, and we kind of talked about this a little bit before the call just to kind of get a handle on some stuff, but it is very dominant. And do you think that's one of the triggers that these bad boys were hitting that was really driving these females crazy?
Yes, Exactly. And yes, my material goes very deep and it goes in very quick and it is very dominant. Mm-hmm. And the turning point for me was when my wife cheated on me with a bad boy. Now, in my mid-20s, I had some game, okay? I had fairly decent game. Yeah, I was the classic nice guy, but I had enough of a little bit of an edge to me. And I met a very hot woman at work, and she worked in a completely different department, so it was not a problem, and she actually worked for a contract company. So we ended up getting married. We actually had a really good time. We had good sex, always had simultaneous orgasms and intercourse, but it was very vanilla. Even though we did it every night, it was always the same way. We had two wonderful children, and life was going very well. But about 8 years into the marriage, I noticed that she started to become a little bit distant, a little bit distracted. And then I found out that she was cheating on me. And then she came to me and she said she wanted a divorce and she was moving out. And I was absolutely devastated.
I can imagine.
Well, you know, I watched what was going on. I found out who the guy was. He was a classic machismo asshole bad boy. Now, I actually, here's where it all got really interesting. I actually ran into that guy one night in a nightclub, and he was actually out with a different woman. He was cheating on my ex-wife.
Right.
And I walked up to him. I said, dude, what did you do right and what did I do wrong? And the guy sang like a bird, man. He told me everything.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, fucking A, God damn it. I'm a fucking asshole, but damn, he's good.
Right.
I was going to say,
that's interesting. I would have never thought to have kind of dropped the ego enough to ask the guy who was, you know, that very guy, what the secret was. That's ballsy. I like it.
Well, I had to know.
Okay.
Once she left me, I got to figure this out. Mm-hmm. What did I do wrong? What do I have to do in order to have a successful relationship that is long lasting? Mm-hmm. And I also wanted the opportunity to scare the shit out of the guy.
Right.
And he said, I'm glad you're not the jealous type. And I replied, if I were, you wouldn't be here. Mm. And that scared the shit out of him. Mm. But I needed to know. Mm. And so that started me on a trajectory. I started to understand what the bad boys were doing. So what I did is I reverse engineered the bad boys. And I actually became a bad boy. I mean, a classic, complete flaming asshole, aggressive bad boy. And I got a convertible Corvette. I got all the right clothes, belt, boot, I talked like a bad boy. I acted like a bad boy.
I mean, just flamboyant, right?
Oh, I was completely, total 100% bad boy.
Right.
And the women came. First, it was a 19-year-old stripper who actually would get into the nightclubs, and she got her job with a illegal ID. Then there were other women. I'd pick up two women at a time at the nightclub and bring them home, and they'd sit on each other's lap in the convertible Corvette, and then we'd have a threesome. And then I thought, geez, there's a lot of bored married women out there. So then there was a string of married women, and I did to their husbands what that bad boy had done to me.
Right.
I gave the bored wives exciting sex. And at the same time, I figured, hey, you know, I've already been married. I've already done the married with children thing. I'm not going to get married again. I've had all the children I want. I'm just going to get really good at the sex thing. I've always been very interested in human sexuality and female responsiveness. Mm-hmm. And so I started studying up on that. Actually started finding stuff out that I had not read about, actually fell upon things, and everything started to click. Everything started to click together. The problem was, though, being the classic bad boy made my stomach sick.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see how it was wearing on the women as well. Even though it worked so fucking amazingly, I could see how it was wearing down the women. So what I did is I decided to keep the stuff about the bad boys that worked really well and then revert back to all the classic nice guy stuff that worked very well mm-hmm. in specific situations. So what I did, I figured out, all right, when are you the classic nice guy and when are you the classic bad boy? There is a time and place for each of these things.
Right.
And when it is approached like that, it works amazingly well. And then on top of that, when you have the really powerful aspects of sexuality, where she has orgasms far beyond what she has ever experienced before, when she has sex far beyond anything she's ever imagined, then that is the magic formula.
Yeah, let me ask you a question, because I kind of went through this, and a lot of guys that I've talked to have kind of went through some of the same things, like guys that kind of, it's almost like a big pendulum swing where guys go from being ultra nice to super dicks, just like you're talking about. And what they find is, you know, because that's not really who they are. They just have found a methodology, or more or less a kind of a personal avatar that's just happening to work and get them a result. But what I was finding was I was losing a lot of respect for women as a whole, just as like a class of beings. It was like, man, this is getting so easy, you know, when you're talking about the married women and women with boyfriends and all of this type of stuff, that you're sitting there and you're like, man, can I trust any woman ever again? Because you started thinking, like, man, I'm good, but I know there's a lot of other slick dudes out there too. So did you kind of go through that? Was that part of what was kind of making you sick as a side of that? Or, you know, were there some other things as well?
What made me sick was the incongruency. And like you said, mm-hmm. it was not me.
Right.
The problem with the bad boys is they were typically raised in machismo households where their mother was treated like dirt by their father. Mm-hmm. Also, the bad boys have the classic Madonna whore syndrome, where they'll have one woman who's a Madonna, a very nice woman that he treats her very nicely with, and he only has sex with her to procreate. But to have exciting sex, he has to go to a different woman who he views as the whore. He is completely unable to integrate both in one woman. Huh. He has some very serious emotional problems, and he has some very serious sexual problems. Now, you also mentioned the slick dude out there. Another problem with the classic bad boys is they are actually extremely paranoid, because they know that other bad boys are out there doing to them what they did to some other guys. So they're actually very paranoid, and they actually are extremely insecure. When you really study these bad boys, you find out that there's nothing sturdy about them. They're extremely insecure.
Sure.
So, yes, that was very incongruent, but yeah. I did know what worked very well. Now, you mentioned the word respect, that when you turned into a complete asshole, like you said, pendulum swinging the other way, yes, it does lose some respect. It's also true that being only a completely nice guy loses respect. And I have found that respect is absolutely critical. A man absolutely, positively must command respect with his woman. That is extremely critical key point.
Huh.
Now, in order to command respect, yes, you have to be the nice guy in specific scenarios, And yes, you have to be the exciting bad boy in other specific situations. So you have to be able to integrate both parts into you. And actually, men actually have both of those parts. For men who are comfortable with their sexuality, meaning they don't have some kind of hang-up about their sexuality, they were not raised with some kind of pollution in their sexuality, they can be the classic nice guy in the living room, and they can be highly sexual creatures, you know, the bad boy in the bedroom.
Huh.
If they are healthy with their sexuality.
That's kind of interesting, because it's like you hear a lot of guys talk about, you know, that same type of phenomenon with women, talking about how they want a lady in public, but not a whore, but basically that type of woman, just a freak in the bedroom and a lady in public kind of a thing. So what you're saying is that for men as well, it's somewhat along the same lines. If I'm not getting that wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. It is true that men want a lady in the living room and a whore in the bedroom. And uh-huh. Women know this. Women absolutely know this. Women want a gentleman, nice guy in the living room, and they want a bad boy in the bedroom. That's classic. That is, they absolutely know that. And men need to understand that. One of the main things that I do with men is I explain to them, it's okay to be the bad boy in the bedroom. She actually wants you to be the bad boy in the bedroom. Yes, in the living room, she actually demands and expects that you treat her with respect, that you treat her nicely. And in the bedroom, she actually demands and requires that you treat her like a bad boy would treat his whore. That's what she needs to have, just like a man wants a lady in the living room and a whore in the bedroom.
Man, that's I know for a fact that's going to make a lot of guys nervous just thinking about that. Just think about, like, you know, your wife that you've been with for, you know, like you were saying, you know, 5, 6, 7 years, never went down this path. And then the next thing you know, you're calling her dirty names and slapping her in the ass and doing all this crazy stuff. But what you're saying, and like I said, I've been through a lot of your material and I can relate some positive experiences to that type of, you know, behavior, that it's absolutely true. As bad as I hate to say it, it's almost liberating.
Exactly.
It's like you have a channel for aggression that you can, oh man, I don't know how to put it. And like I said, you probably got a better handle on it than I do. In fact, I know you do, but it's like, you know, you've got things that happen and go on in your life and, you know, sometimes they're stressful or whatever, but it's almost like you've got something that you can channel that aggression into something positive, not only because it's good and healthy, but it also works, you know, in the bedroom itself. So yeah, I agree.
It is very liberating, actually, when you understand how it all works. You see, social programming has restrained us men. Social programming is very important. Social programming has its purpose. Social mm-hmm. programming protects society and it protects women.
Mm-hmm.
Now, even if there were not social programming, even if there were not a social structure, women would create one, okay? Mm-hmm. They want to be protected. They want social structure. But when you understand women, you understand that in the bedroom, they want to be completely different. Uh-huh. You see, women want to be viewed as innocent and proper. They want to be respected for the educated professional that they are and admired for their accomplishments. But in the bedroom, in privacy, where social programming does not apply, where nobody is going to know about it, this is very important, nobody's going to know about it, that's where her innate sexuality wants to be expressed. It's in their DNA. It is innate in women. They are highly sexual creatures. Now, let me talk about talking dirty to her and slapping her ass. No, I did not do that when I was married.
Mm-hmm.
But here was a real learning point for me that after she left the house, moved out, and she got an apartment, we were going through the emotions of the divorce. Well, one evening, I had to go drop some paperwork off at her house to have her sign it. And just before I was to knock on the door at her apartment, I heard her and the bad boy in the living room on the other side of the door doing it. He was talking dirty to her. He was slapping her ass. And she was screaming in multi-orgasmic ecstasy. She was being a complete whore.
Right.
That ripped my heart out. But then I thought, fucking A, that asshole. Damn, he's good. My wife never did that with me.
Right.
All right, so I walked away with an education. I'm changing everything around here. Now, what reminded me back on some things that I did in college, which were kind of edgy, one woman that I dated, very high self-esteem, highly intelligent, pretty little girl. She loved horses. And she told me that when I do her doggy style, she actually feels like a horse and she actually finds that exciting. So I took a gulp of courage, and while we were doing a doggy style, I said, oh yeah, you feel like you're getting fucked like a horse. Whinny like a horse. She started making horse noises.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, this is really fucking weird, but man, she's enjoying it.
So, I'm going to go with it, right?
So I thought, all right, things are starting to fall together. I'm starting to understand this whole thing that in the bedroom, social programming, social norms do not apply because nobody knows about it. That's where she can completely address her innate sexuality, which is in her DNA. She has to have it. It has to be in complete contradiction to who she are is the living room.
Right.
Complete contradiction, which makes her whole and complete and keeps her excited about her man. Do you understand?
I do. You know, what's funny is when you were saying that, something just kind of came across, and I'm going to kind of put this in a different perspective, maybe for some guys that are kind of, maybe this is too much for them to kind of drink down all at once. But I noticed this, man, maybe this was, Elle and I have been together for about 3 years now, and I noticed, like, toward the beginning of the relationship that I would, you know, we'd be in public or whatever, and I would walk up behind her and kind of, you know, hit her in the ass, and she would look at me funny, like, dude, what are you doing? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, dude, you're not supposed to be hitting my ass. But
right.
When we're around the house and nobody's watching, she's smiling about it, she likes it, and all this stuff. So it was really strange to see. I mean, that's kind of a tame version of what you're talking about. But that's kind of like the start of where I started kind of grasping some of what you're talking about. I think obviously you've taken this to a totally different level than where I've even thought about. But that was something that I was just like, okay, that's weird, because, you know, well, me, like most guys, assume that what you can do in one place, you can kind of do in another. So if I'm walking around tapping her in the butt. And I think one time I tapped her in the butt around, like her folks or something like that when we were at their house. And I thought nothing of it, but it was very taboo there, but it wasn't taboo, you know, at the house, which is really weird. So that's an interesting kind of topic. Let's talk about the taboo nature of what you're talking about, because it's, like I say, it's kind of going to be out there for a lot of guys, but I think if men can really get a handle on what you're talking about, it's going to take them to the next level overall.
This is very true. And you absolutely must leverage taboo. That is critically important. Leveraging taboo is critically important. Now, you mentioned tapping her butt around others.
Uh-huh.
You're right. She doesn't want you to do that. And the reason is because other people would see it and it would violate social programming. However, if you two were somewhere where nobody else would see it, where this is key, where it can just be your and her little secret,
mm-hmm.
that is completely acceptable. Now, at the very advanced levels, I teach guys how to take the bedroom into public settings. It's actually extremely powerful. Now, this is a very advanced level.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be very careful with this, that it is possible that in public, so long as it is you and her secret, you can bring the bedroom into public.
Hmm.
Now, at the very advanced levels, one of the fun things that I enjoy doing is she and I will be leaning against the bar, sipping on drinks in a very large, crowded nightclub where it is very loud and people are crammed all around us. But I will simply go through a sequence where I look her in the eye and I give her that look. And then she starts to get the idea, okay, here comes something. And then I start whispering into her ear. And by then, she has been trained by me to have an instant orgasm on command and to be able to do it without screaming. She can do it very quietly. And I will simply tell her to come now. And she will have an orgasm right there in the bar in a crowd of people. And nobody will know about it. And she'll start to slightly convulse and shake and lose her breath. And I will tell her to keep coming. And this will go on for a couple of minutes. And then I'll tell her to stop. So long as nobody knows about it, extremely powerful.
Man, I'll tell you what. That just went so much farther than where I thought you were going to go with that. I thought you were going to go along the lines of, you know, maybe you touching her or something like that. That's incredible. And so, all right, here's kind of the next step as far as the next question with that. And I know a lot of guys are probably thinking, and I know better because I, like I say, we all know the same people and, you know, I know you're stand up and you wouldn't lie about it, but you know, there's guys out there that are going, yeah, right, man. You know, where's the proof? How can we, I mean, I've never even came close to anything like that happening. Heck, I can't even imagine. I still wonder if my woman is actually having real ones when we're in the bedroom, not to mention that it could happen in public, not even by touching her. So what's the deal with that? I know that's what they're thinking.
Yeah, I went way out on the limb there, and I started talking about some of the advanced stuff.
No, but that's cool. That's cool, but that's what I'm saying. I like going out there and showing guys what's ultimately possible at the very end of it so that you can. There's a vacuum of kind of acceptability that, you know, yeah, that's the advanced stuff, the super stuff. If I can only get maybe 10% of that right, I'll be good. So I like that. But, you know, for, like I say, there's guys that they're going to be a little bit not uncomfortable, but kind of really?
Skeptical.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's,
believe
and that's
me,
fine.
I was too.
Mm-hmm.
I was too. You know, I would go to R-rated stage hypnosis shows and I would watch very carefully, and invariably 45 minutes into the stage hypnosis show, the hypnotist would give everybody on the panel an instant orgasm on command.
Hmm.
Now the crowd goes crazy. It's very entertaining. Well, even seeing it in person, I found it hard to believe. But I decided, I'm going to learn hypnosis. Another thing that happened, and this was another key learning point, turning point for me, and that was after my wife moved out, I had custody of the children.
Mm-hmm.
I would put them to bed at 9 o'clock, and then I was home alone. I couldn't go out. I couldn't meet people. I was stuck at home while my children slept. So I turned to the telephone. I answered personal ads. That was back before the internet. Okay, we're talking 1992.
Oh, wow.
Okay. There was a magazine that you could pick up for free at all the local restaurants and stores and the like, and people put in personal ads. Mm-hmm. And you would call the 900 number and leave a message for whichever woman you happen to like her ad. Women would call an 800 number to read their messages. If she liked what she heard, she'd call the guy up. So, and I'd tell them to call after 9 o'clock. So every evening after I'd put the children to bed, I'd wait for the phone to ring. And then the phone would ring. And back then, there was not even caller ID. She knew that she could call me, and I would not know who she is.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd start talking on the phone. And I actually met a lot of women this way, but I couldn't go out. So I had to make things happen on the phone.
Oh, wow.
I was very devastated. I felt very defeated, but I wanted to know that I still had a sexual effect on women. Because, you know, after a divorce, after a breakup, you're going to feel like you have no effect on women, that you have no sexual power. Well, I had to experiment with that. It was my only outlet. So I got really damn good at talking on the phone and actually turning things sexual.
Mm-hmm.
And after a lot, I mean hundreds of phone calls, I got really damn good at establishing rapport, establishing a communication channel, and then making things romantic, and then making things sexual, and then making things sexual. And I would actually get 80% of these women on the very first phone call to have phone sex with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I absolutely went to town. I made the phone sex unfucking believably hot for her. I got really good at it, okay?
Yeah.
Because remember, that was my only outlet.
Sure.
Now, here's the key point. One night with a woman, I decided, I thought I was going to push the envelope. I was a sponge for learning.
Mm-hmm.
I had to know and learn everything. And I pushed the envelope as hard and as far as I could. And I told woman, leave your free hand behind your head. And she said, okay. And I went through the entire sequence, the phone sex sequence, describing in great detail what I would do if I were there, which got increasingly enthusiastic. And she kept her free hand behind her head, and she actually started to become aroused. And I thought, well, I pushed this. I wanted to know how aroused could I get her before she would beg me to be able to touch herself.
Mm-hmm.
And she got increasingly more and more aroused. I continued to demand that she keep her free hand behind her head because I was just going to push the envelope. And before long, she had an orgasm.
Without touching herself?
Without touching herself.
Wow.
And I thought to myself, holy shit. And she screamed, how did you do that?
Yeah, and you're sitting there, and you're in your mind, I'm going, I have no idea. But on the phone, you're probably like, oh, that's just the start.
So I decided, well, I'm going to keep doing this kind of thing. And I did that with other women. And woman after woman after woman were able to have an orgasm without even touching themselves. And I thought, holy shit, man. Yeah, those stage hypnotists, yeah, they actually are giving women an orgasm, but they do it without even ramping the woman up. So I went out and I learned hypnosis. I also integrated into my understanding other things that I had found out of women. You know, I talked to hundreds of women. Ah, my God, it could be in the thousands that were recently divorced because at the time I was 36 and I would answer ads by women in their early 30s. They were recently divorced And I would ask them, you know, what did your husband, oh, and a lot of these women cheated on a bad boy. And they, there was a specific MO.
Mm-hmm.
And that was that these women became bored in their marriage. They had an affair with a bad boy. And then they said, I'm out of here. All right. The other thing that would happen is that they were bored in their marriage and then they would get a divorce. And then the first man they met was a bad boy that gave her extremely exciting sex. But then she finally eventually dumped him because he was an inconsiderate asshole, cheating jerk. And I would ask these women, all right, your husband, why was the sex boring? Did he have a small penis? And mm-hmm. the woman would actually say, actually, no. And I ask her, this bad boy that you were with that was really exciting, did he have a big penis? And she'd say, actually, no. And I thought, holy shit. There is another social programming myth that was busted, completely vaporized. A lot of these women, the most exciting lover that they were with was the guy with the smallest penis.
Mm.
And these women, the most boring lover they were with was the guy that had the biggest penis. So since women can have an orgasm without even touching themselves, I started to understand that female sexuality is very much mental.
Mm-hmm.
Through a number of other things that I discovered, I found out that female sexuality is entirely mental, that you absolutely must address the mental aspects, which is why the bad boys are so powerful, because they can make it very exciting, but because she will ultimately break up with him because he is unable to be a nice guy in the living room.
Mm-hmm.
And why the classic nice guys, she loves what he does in the living room, but he's completely boring in the bedroom. So I started to understand it's all very mental.
Mm-hmm.
So what you do when you take the sexuality out of the bedroom and you drop it into public, so long as it does not violate social norms, meaning you can give her an instant orgasm on command in the middle of a crowded nightclub,
mm-hmm.
that's actually extremely exciting for her,
mm-hmm.
because you are addressing the mental needs of her sexuality.
Right. Hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. It almost sounds like, I'm trying to get a handle on some of the things that you're saying, but it's almost like in the bedroom, she wants to almost submit, if that's a good word, if that's where I'm looking at. And maybe that's where it is. Just being able to give herself over is part of the process. Is that it?
That is a very, very key point.
Okay.
All right. That is so very, very true. Women want nothing more than to be able to go into the bedroom and completely submit to her man. Women are sexually submissive creatures. Now, in the living room, they want to be treated like an equal.
Mm-hmm.
At work, a lot of these women are very dominant.
Mm-hmm.
They are middle line managers in charge of a lot of people. I know women who work in industries which are male dominated, but she's the boss and tells them all what to do. Women want to be very dominant at work. They want to be very accomplished, but they are completely the opposite in the bedroom. This is another thing I learned that was very interesting is when a person goes from the living room to the bedroom, they completely change into a completely different person. After I started to get some real experience with the mental aspects, I found out quite interesting. And interestingly, the women that are the most dominant at work actually are the most incredibly submissive in the bedroom. It's that dichotomy. It's that contrast that's so extremely important to them. Absolutely, in the bedroom, women want to submit to their man. So I help men with how to be dominant and that it is okay to be dominant. So basically, I have the masterful lover equation, which explains that the keys to being a masterful lover are beliefs and knowledge and dominance. Mm-hmm. Those three together are going to make for exciting sex. Beliefs in that you have to understand that women are highly sexual creatures. You have to understand that women want to be sexual. They want to be submissive. They want that dichotomy between the living room and the bedroom. Knowledge in that you have to know the things to do. You have [S2] Right. [S1] To know female anatomy. You have to know what buttons actually work. You have to know how to talk dirty in the bedroom. There are a number of things to know about women, about sexuality. And then the third ingredient is dominance. When you go into the bedroom, you absolutely must lead. Women want their man to lead in the bedroom. Now, here is a really, really key point. Women want to get highly sexual. You could say that in the bedroom, women actually want to get slutty.
Uh-huh.
Is a great way to describe it. However, she cannot initiate it because to do so would define her as a slut. She doesn't want to be a slut, but she does want to get slutty. Well, she can only do that when her man tells her to do that. When her man tells her to do it, she does not have to be responsible for what happens. She will do it because her man told her to do it. Well, of course she's going to happily do it because she wants to be slutty. But she's going to wait for her man to tell her to do it because she can't start it herself because that would define her as a slut. So women want their man to be dominant in the bedroom, because she knows he's going to initiate those things that are going to allow her to act slutty, but he's going to assume all of the responsibility for what happens.
Uh-huh.
And also, women are sexually submissive creatures. They want their man to be dominant. It's in their DNA. It's innate in them.
Yeah, it makes sense. It makes total sense to me. I mean, basically, what you're talking about is almost permission-based behavior, where a person wants to do something, but they're kind of conflicted. But as soon as you say it's okay, it's off to the races, dude. You know what I mean? And that's what it sounds like. It's like, okay, I want to do this, but I don't want to be. It's almost like, you know, for a lot of guys, when they're talking about one night stands and things like that, you know, the woman might want to do it, but she's got this other thing where she doesn't want to be perceived as a slut, kind of like what you're saying on that line. But if you're in that regard, if you're non-judgmental, if she's comfortable with it, you're not going to tell anybody, and she's going to be able to release and be comfortable with that, then you essentially give her permission to do what she wants to do. And that's the same thing you're kind of talking about here, if I'm not mistaken.
You're absolutely right. Now, let me talk about one-night stands for a minute.
Okay.
Now, here's the interesting twist about one-night stands, and that is what I call the one-night stand clause. Okay, we got back up. As we spoke about, it is critically important that a man command respect. A man absolutely must command respect.
Mm-hmm.
Because in order for her to be responsive to her man, she must take what he says seriously. In order to take what he says seriously, she must have respect for him. The mm-hmm. man absolutely must command respect. Now let's talk about the one-night stand. In the one-night stand, there is a clause, which is the following. If a woman has intercourse with a man on the first night that she meets him, she knows that he thinks that she is a slut because she had intercourse with him the first night she met him. Now, it is true that women have one-night stands. That happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
They enjoy it. They get off on it. But she knows that he will not call her. Now, even if he does call her, she is not going to answer because she feels like a slut. Because she feels like he's just calling her again just for the sex.
Right.
Now, this is 99% true. Now, in a one-night stand, if a woman has a one-night stand with a man, she has already made the conscious decision to have less respect for him. He is not good enough for a relationship. He is only good enough for a one-night stand.
Huh.
Now, I tell my clients, yeah, go have a one-night stand if you want, but don't expect to command respect after that. But if you are progressing things along to where it looked like that might happen, you have a decision to make. Is this a woman you want to see again? If so, here is the recipe. What you do is you ramp up the arousal. You ramp up the excitement. You start having her do things that are slutty in a mental regard. And you make it very exciting for her without getting physical. Now, she will realize that you are able to fuck her mind, that it is very exciting for her, all the mental things that you were doing. She also realizes that you had enough respect for her to not have intercourse with her, but instead you're willing to wait. Now, this is critically important if you're interested in having a successful relationship with her, that what this does is it begins to increase her responsiveness to you. First of all, it will make you command a lot of respect because you had respect for her to wait. It makes you command a lot of respect because you had a very powerful sexual effect on her, and you are training her already how to be very responsive to you. As a result, future dates are going to be infinitely more exciting, and she will be infinitely more responsive to you. Now, the next time you get together, you can leverage what you had done on the previous date. And the next night you get together, you can leverage what you had done on the previous night. And all these times, when she is home alone, thinking about you, she is already creating fantasies about you, and she will actually masturbate thinking about having sex with you. Mm-hmm. So you have already been implanted into her fantasies. Again, leveraging the very powerful mental aspects of female sexuality. So that you can actually get to the point where you are giving her orgasms even before any clothes come off. You can be giving her orgasms even before you've touched any sexual part. And you are absolutely guaranteed that she's going to have amazingly exciting sex with you if you leverage the mental aspects of sexuality.
Man, that was probably one of the most insightful things I've heard in a while about the one-night stand and loss of respect. And as soon as you said it, it made sense because I kind of thought about it. You know, way back of kind of how the things progress down, it's almost like she's in her mind decided that all this will ever be is any type of sexual relationship or, you know, just kind of a, you know, buddy. That's kind of profound, actually. I've never actually thought about it that way, but it makes a lot of sense in that regard. It's almost like in the same regard that you would think of her as a slut because she slept with you on the first date, she's almost thinking the same thing of you.
That's very true. It all goes back to commanding respect. And in order for a man to command respect, he first has to have respect for himself.
Mm-hmm.
He has to have enough self-control and respect for himself to forego a close on the first night. He has to think about the long-term interests. If this is somebody that he wants to have a relationship with,
right,
that it's actually going to require that the man have self-control and that he has enough respect for himself, meaning he's worth more than a one-night stand. A man has to believe that he would be insulted that a woman would make the conscious decision to have less respect for him. So that is a decision that a man has to make for himself.
Yeah, that's, like I say, that might be one of the more profound things, especially for the single guys, because it seems like a lot of guys are chasing that kind of, I don't want to say mythical unicorn, but because it's not mythical, but that's what they're chasing is the one night stand. But in essence, what you're saying is that it ultimately ends up being a dead end road for your long-term goals.
Well, there are a lot of guys who want to get a lot of hot babes.
Mm-hmm.
They want to get women to sleep with them. But what that does when a guy goes out and tries to get a lot of girls to say yes, it puts all the power in the girls.
Right.
He has no power. It's all about her saying yes. It gives women all the power. That is not very liberating. That is not very empowering. A lot of guys are out there trying to get a lot of girls, trying to prove something to themselves. But you know what? They're going to end up with the same damn problem.
Huh.
Men need to fix their own damn problems before they involve real people. Now, when men fix their own damn problems, they will find that the women come very easily.
Both figuratively and sexually, huh?
Well said, Brad.
That's, oh man, that's, I'll tell you what, you know, that's, this part of it is really kind of opened my eyes to a bunch of different things. I can see how, you know, I'm always interested in just kind of the interactions of people and how things work, and it kind of gives me a little bit of a different perspective, so I appreciate that. You know, I know guys right now are listening and kind of just thinking, man, a lot of this is kind of way over my head, and I know you sent me the Wild Screaming Orgasms, and I've kind of been going through that with a fine tooth comb. And, you know, the one module that really kind of stuck with me is the Cure Nice Guy module. I like that. And, you know, we kind of started out talking about that. And that covers a lot of this type of material. So, I guess is that mainly kind of the big product that you've got that really is going to encompass a lot of what we're talking about right now?
Okay. You said that some of the things we've talked about is way over most people's heads. We haven't even touched on the really powerful stuff that I teach in my advanced programs.
Mm-hmm.
That that's just fucking mind blowing.
Right.
Now, yes, the program Cure Nice Guy is a very important program. I bring guys through the steps. When they get to know me, is I first start them with understanding female sexuality. And that's the first thing I have to do with secrets of female sexuality. Once they understand how women really work, then they can start working on themselves. And that's done with Cure Nice Guy. In Cure Nice Guy, a number of co-authors and I explain the whole dynamic of the nice guy, what parts of it work for women, what don't, and why they're a nice guy, how to be okay with, you don't have to be a nice guy all the time, why nice guy is holding you back. I give you some exercises to help you with nice guy-itis, help you start getting over nice guy-itis. And then in Give Women Wild Screaming Orgasms, then I start going into the knowledge base. Okay, once they have the belief systems, then we go into the knowledge base. Female anatomy, touch here, touch there, all the buttons that actually work, buttons that don't work, stay away from. And all the dynamics of female orgasms. All the knowledge about female orgasms. Then we get into dirty talk. What is dirty talk? What is not dirty talk? Examples of dirty talk, how it's used and how it's leveraged. That's Wild Screaming. The program after that, once they can do that, they can give women orgasms. They can give women vaginal orgasms. They can give women vaginal orgasms in intercourse. 70% of women have never had a vaginal orgasm in intercourse. And I tell guys, and this is absolutely true, if you are not giving your woman orgasms in intercourse, you have nothing. In fact, what's happening is sex is all about you.
Right.
If you're having an orgasm in sex, but she's not, sex is all about you.
Right.
And marriages end because of that. And women don't even know why. Believe me, I've met a lot of women and talked to them at great length about this. What they'll do is they'll cheat with a bad boy, or they'll get divorced and then get with a bad boy, and all of a sudden she's having vaginal orgasms. Now, after Wild Screaming, the next step is sexual power and influence. That's where I start teaching you how to be a dom, how to be dominant in the bedroom, how to really, really lead. Once you have the belief systems and you have the knowledge, then we can start talking about dominance. And I give very specific examples of dominance. I have a number of great guest authors. Some of my top clients have turned around and become authors for me. They share their experiences, what they did. They show you exactly what to do. Then we start getting into the more advanced stuff. After you can be dominant in the bedroom, then there's Give Women Hot Phone Sex, where I teach men exactly how to give a woman an orgasm without even touching herself. And I actually have recorded examples where they hear all these screaming female orgasms, and she was never touching herself. And then we go on to advanced sexual hypnosis. This is a really fun one because you can actually hypnotize your woman, and you can simply say, come now, and she instantly comes. And you can have her coming for as long as you want. Also under hypnosis, you can make any fantasy her reality, absolutely any fantasy. It's a whole new world of possibilities.
Right.
And then there is an advanced program even beyond that that I won't get into, which is just really wild, crazy shit that women become fucking addicted to. You have to be extremely careful who you choose to do this stuff on.
Right.
Now, another program that I'm really, really proud of is, I think it's the first program that I started working on back in 1992, so to speak, is the first thing I figured out is, what did I do wrong in my marriage? I thought I did something wrong. Well, after a lot of reading about relationships, marriage, recovery, female dynamics and all this education that I was getting on the telephone with women, I found, you know what? The only mistake I made is I selected wrong. I had picked a woman who had a low self-esteem. She did not believe that she deserved to be happy. Yeah, I made all the classic mistakes about being a nice guy, even in the bedroom. But even if I had been excited in the bedroom, she had low self-esteem. She did not believe that she deserved happiness. She had the classic American dream. We had built a brand new big all-brick home in the suburbs in a neighborhood with lawns like a golf course. You know, we had two beautiful children. She had the American dream, but she threw it all away. And it's because that it was incongruent with her truly deep values. Mm-hmm. So I teach men, success begins by choosing wisely. You absolutely must have a woman that has three things. Number one, high self-esteem. Number two, intelligence. And number three, sexual. She absolutely has to have a high self-esteem, meaning she has to believe that she deserves happiness. She has to believe that feeling good is right and normal for her.
Mm-hmm.
And women who have a high self-esteem, believe it or not, are actually much more likely to have orgasms.
Uh-huh.
Simply because, well, they believe that they deserve it.
Sure.
Also, they don't have emotional complications which might sabotage any possible orgasm. Secondly, a woman absolutely must be intelligent because female sexuality is entirely mental. I give guys very powerful mental techniques to leverage. It works best with the smart ones.
Right.
And the smarter she is, the better it works.
Hmm.
And yeah, she has to be sexual. There are a few, very, very few women of high self-esteem and intelligence who are not that sexual. And it's usually their upbringing that thwarted that. And it's a lot more work to get her there. But you mm-hmm. can't. It's just a lot more work. It's like, how far and how fast do you want to go?
Sure. Yeah, that's interesting. It's like I was telling my buddy, or actually our friend Scott McKay, this wasn't too long ago. I was interested in the dynamic of what guys ultimately are trying to do, and I was like, you know, man, it's not pick up, it's pick out. And he was like, I couldn't have said it better myself. And you know, it's yeah. the same thing that you're saying. It's not, I mean, any guy can go fire off and on any number of women and take the what I call the construction worker approach and just go after everything that moves, and you're going to get lucky. I mean, it's just a matter of numbers. I mean, that's just cold calling. But you know, it takes a different type of man to actually be selective and have some standards, uncompromising standards about what he wants. And I think that's basically what your stuff really represents, man.
That is so very true. And I really like what you said. It's not about pick up, it's about pick out. That's so critically true. Now, when a man runs around trying to pick up anything that he can without discrimination for the really important things, all right, the only thing that he is selecting on is her attractiveness, her physical attractiveness. Okay, that is not something that was her decision.
Right.
A man needs to choose women based on decisions that she has made. Now, what he's doing when he's just running around going after attractive women, he's just looking for a hot body to masturbate inside of. And again, it's not going to prove anything to him. He's still going to end up with the same problem. In fact, he's going to end up being more neurotic than before.
Sure.
First of all, the bad energy of them, a lot of those women are going to be very low self-esteem. Well, that's all going to rub off on him. And there is a hell of a lot of drama with some of the women that they're going to end up involved in, which is a real mess for one psyche.
Mm-hmm.
But the entire process is one that basically comes down to the man is having very little respect for himself is right. Basically what it's all about.
Gotcha. I'll tell you what, man, I think we've got a lot out of this whole thing. I mean, I can't imagine really kind of dimensionalizing what you're about and what you've got going on. So I really appreciate you being on the call with us today. And guys, man, I'm going to send you an email about David's Wild Screaming Orgasms. Like I said, I'm kind of going through it right now, just kind of looking through it, and it's fascinating stuff. So like I say, David, man, I really appreciate you being on the call, man.
I really appreciate you having me on the call, Brad, and it was a great honor to be speaking to your clients. Thank you very much.
Hey, I appreciate it, man. All right, guys. Well, for David Shade, my name is Brad Howard, and that is your High Gravity Male Podcast.
Awesome.